This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. It is teed up at Landsberg Golf Club and the Florida Golf Trail. Landsberg Golf Club is the home to the next event on the Todd Wright Tour. Coming up on April 1st, the final foursome will be determined. And another unique format, a lot of fun, at a very low price. Just $60 per player. Still room for you. About 60 to 70% of the tee times have already been sold for this event, and it's only been on sale a little over a week. Don't hesitate to get signed up for this, whether you have a full foursome, want to sign up as just an individual, or you have one buddy and you're a twosome and you need me to pair you up, or you have three players and you just want to pay as a threesome. All of you are welcome. Don't wait. My last tournament, Good versus Evil, at the Eagles sold out. This one will also. It is the final foursome, Saturday afternoon, April 1st, at Landsbrook Golf Club. For more details and to register, go to joebucksfan.com/golf. And in the meantime, why don't you prep for my tournament with a leisurely round at Landsbrook Golf Club and see how well the greens are rolling. 727-784-7333. Landsberg Golf Club is in Palm Harbor at 4605 Village Center Drive. The general manager there is one of the best general managers at any local golf community, and that is Steve Martin. And yes, he's heard all the jokes you would say about his name. Landsberg Golf Club, one of seven properties on the Florida Golf Trail and home to the next event that I host, the Final Foursome, April 1st. All right, so let me put a timestamp on this podcast. It is roughly 10 p.m. on Thursday night that I offer this updated podcast. I'm doing it a little earlier than usual because I've been getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go work for the PGA Tour at the Valspar Championship presented by BB&T at the Innisbrook Resort. So if there are any moves that I miss because of when I'm recording this, by the time you download it, please accept my apologies. If we have a ton of other moves to talk about over the weekend, I'll shoot you another podcast sometime early next week, in addition to the normal podcast that is made first available on Friday morning on joebucksfan.com, as well as on iTunes. All right, so let's start, because we originate on joebucksfan.com, with a couple of Buccaneer-related notes, one coming, one going. The coming we actually talked about on a previous podcast, and that was the possibility that DeSean Jackson could sign as a free agent with the Buccaneers. That is now the case. When analyzing this, we talked about what it would potentially add to the Buccaneer offense, how they go from basically having one real wide receiver, and Humphreys plays well, but Humphreys only exists because of Mike Evans. The same could be said about other wide receivers in recent years who have been similar in their route running, in their styles to Adam Humphreys, who benefit from the fact that they're on a team of star power. The most recent example of this probably would be a Cole Beasley in Dallas, who was quite a weapon in a number of games for the Cowboys last year. And the only reason that worked so well was because the Cowboys had Ezekiel Elliott dominating the running game and obviously had Dez Bryant as a big factor in the passing game. So now the addition of DeSean Jackson gives the Buccaneers two top-level wideouts. Jackson was number one in yards per catch last season. He clearly is someone that defenses have to respect. So now the automatic reaction is going to be, well, you can't double both. And if your safeties roll to both of them on opposite sides, then you can send a Cameron Brate right down the middle of the field. So this does give the Buccaneers more of a threat in the passing game. Does it help Mike Evans? Yeah, probably. Will it cut down on his targets? I don't think that much. One of the downsides to DeSean Jackson has been that he doesn't stay on the field. That little nagging injuries have cost him a number of games, especially in his tenure with the Washington Redskins. That's something that I guess the Buccaneers are prepared to deal with. It does give Jameis Winston another legitimate wide receiver to throw to, who is an accomplished route runner, still with very good speed, and certainly a big play threat. Mike Evans is a big play threat. DeSean Jackson is a big play threat. Really, DeSean Jackson is more of a big play threat than Mike Evans. I don't think the Bucs will approach Mike Evans any differently now. I think this will play to Mike Evans' strengths, just as they'll play to DeSean Jackson's strengths. And this should help the Buccaneer running game, which clearly Dirk Koetter wants more out of. They kept Jacquizz Rodgers. Rodgers was undoubtedly the most productive running back for the Buccaneers last year on a very small sample once he finally got the opportunity. And then a couple weeks later, he injured his foot, and then we didn't see very much of him after that. But it will help in terms of the Buccaneers' ability to run the ball, where opponents have to respect what the Bucs have in terms of wide receivers on either side of the football. Now, that all said, and if you're wondering, say, well, wait a minute, you know, Dirk Koetter talks about how important the running game is, but here he has, you know, these big-time wide receivers. Look, the running game is important in Dallas, too, and they throw the ball down the field. I mentioned Beasley's kind of the only underneath guy. Dez Bryant runs routes down the field. Terrence Williams, the last few years, has run routes for first downs down the field. Bryce Butler, coming back to the Cowboys, will run routes down the field. So don't be confused and say, well, what is the Buccaneer philosophy? The philosophy is to threaten all parts of the field in multiple ways. So I get it. Just be prepared for DeSean Jackson to miss, I don't know, a handful of games. He will miss a handful of games. That's just generally what DeSean Jackson does. But he can potentially make quite an impact when he is on the field. I don't think this changes much for Mike Evans. Is DeSean Jackson now a better fantasy option in Tampa Bay as opposed to Washington? I'm going to say no, just because he is older than he was in Washington. So I worry more about the injury factor. Eventually, Father Time catches up to everybody. And DeSean Jackson was the best wide receiver in Washington. DeSean Jackson is not the best wide receiver in Tampa Bay. That's Mike Evans. Jackson could benefit from this. But from a fantasy standpoint, I don't think a heck of a lot changes. Kirk Cousins is the more productive quarterback throwing to DeSean Jackson than Jameis Winston, but Jameis Winston still puts up a lot of yards and is still growing as a player and very willing to make throws down the field. So it's a little bit of each. I wouldn't say DeSean Jackson's status is affected that positively or that negatively fantasy-wise looking ahead to your 2017 draft. Now let's talk about the going for the Buccaneers, and that's Mike Glennon, who we also talked about previously on the podcast. And I will call out my esteemed colleagues at JoeBucksFan.com who said months ago something to the effect of, it was insane to think Mike Glennon could get $15 million a year in free agency. I made a mental note of that when it was written on JoeBucksFan.com because I had a feeling it would be wrong. It's wrong. He received $15 million in free agency. And it's better for Glennon that he went to the Bears than he went to the Jets. It's just a better environment for him overall. And the Bears last year, as bad as they were at times, offensively, and I know Alshon Jeffrey's not there anymore, and now Marcus Wheaton is. That's a downgrade. The Bears at least had an offensive system that even led to Hoyer throwing multiple 300-yard games. I think this is a good move for Mike Glennon. And I think this also shows that Jason Light clearly blew it. Jason Light had a very valuable commodity in Mike Glennon, and why he didn't work harder to deal him, not just before the deadline last season, but last offseason when clearly it was established that Jameis Winston was your number one quarterback and you didn't have to worry about when, sure, if he gets hurt, he gets hurt. But, okay, if he gets hurt, well, there go our Super Bowl chances if we don't have a backup. No, you weren't there yet. Jason Light blew it on Mike Glennon, just as he's blown so many things, especially when it comes to spending free agent money with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The fact that, as Billy Beane once put it, I think it was Billy Beane, it might have been someone before him who basically said, every player on your team must benefit your team in a positive way. They either do it by helping you win games or you get something for them that helps you win games. Tell me how Mike Glennon, the last 2 years, helped the Buccaneers win games. He didn't. And the fact that he's getting $15 million a year, whether you agree with it or not, shows Mike Glennon had value. And Jason Light did not get anything where there was clear value. And to me, that is also the reason why, if the Buccaneers do not continue ascending, Jason Light is set up to take the fall. More than Dirk Cutter, more than Mike Smith, more than Jameis Winston. And I think that was also why the Glazers pushed Light forward to say Lovie Smith had stuck his head between his legs and didn't even want to talk to ownership on his way out the door because Light was next in line to be dumped. Now, the Bucs did get better last year, but there are still a lot of negatives on Jason Light. And if the Bucs do not continue moving forward to being a playoff team, I think it will be Jason Light who takes the fall, and the Mike Glennon no trade will be another reason for him to ultimately take the fall. All right, let's talk about some other moves came down before 10 p.m. on a Thursday night, in no particular order. Ravens signing of Danny Woodhead, kind of intriguing for fantasy reasons. We couldn't really figure out week to week what the hell the Ravens were doing at the running back position. Now, the Ravens lost a quality offensive tackle to the Lions, but and Woodhead clearly has an injury history. He got hurt very early in 2016, which opened the door for Melvin Gordon to get tons more looks, especially red zone looks. So you take the injury risk with Danny Woodhead, but that's a good fit for him. It's a very interesting fit for Danny Woodhead on the Baltimore Ravens. I'm not saying that's someone you immediately slot in and say, oh, I'm going to take him as my number three fantasy running back. No, you don't do that. But maybe in the later rounds, it might not be bad to have Danny Woodhead on your roster, just to see how that thing plays out. We mentioned the Bears with Mike Glennon. I'm not really thrilled about the Marcus Wheaton acquisition. I don't think they're trying to replace Alshon Jeffrey, even though Wheaton has been known to make some big plays. I don't like Wheaton's hands. This doesn't look like a really good move to me at the wide receiver position for the Bears. Brandon LaFell's a better wide receiver. The Bengals kept him. LaFell was a pretty good red zone threat for the Bengals last year when A.J. Green went out and Tyler Eifert was out. And I think it was those games that earned LaFell this contract and put him ahead of young Tyler Boyd on the depth chart of the Cincinnati Bengals. From a fantasy standpoint, I wouldn't be drafting Brandon LaFell, but that would be a guy that I would eye as the season starts if I'm looking to make early pickups on waivers. Bryce Butler re-signs with the Cowboys. At this point, he might be the new number two guy in Dallas. Bryce Butler, to me, is a good football player. I think he's potentially a better wide receiver than Terrence Williams was. And obviously in the Dallas Cowboy offense, the more he gets on the field, the more opportunities that Linehan, Garrett, and Dak Prescott are going to get Bryce Butler. Again, I don't think it's someone you go hard after in fantasy, but I think he's a lot worth considering now than he was, say, a year ago. Robert Woods moved from the Bills to the Rams. Well, he did get out of Buffalo, and he's in Los Angeles, so there's that, just from a city and a weather standpoint. That said, I don't know that Robert Woods significantly upgrades the wide receivers for the Rams, who just didn't have anything to scare defenses away from Todd Gurley last year. I don't think Robert Woods does it. Let's see. Oh, yeah, there was this little deal between the Texans and the Browns. My favorite thing that I saw online was, if you're a Seinfeld fan like me, there was the episode where Kramer and his lawyer, Jackie Childs, basically have this coffee company ready to settle because Kramer burned his skin when the top came off the toppy, the coffee. This was actually based off a true story, as a lot of Seinfeld stuff was. And so they're ready for a settlement, and Kramer just, who is horrible about making deals, too preemptively just stood up and said, "I'll take it," before the coffee company offered him a ton of money. So there's a spoof online of basically Kramer sitting with Jackie Childs, and the Browns say to them, "We're prepared to offer you for Brock Osweiler," and Kramer jumps up and says, "I'll take it." That just shows you what people think of the Browns and what people think of Brock Osweiler. There were draft picks in the deal. The Browns get the Texans' second-round pick in exchange for a fourth. But the Texans just basically are admitting they made a mistake and needed to dump Brock Osweiler's contract. There's no chance that the Texans are committing to Tom Savage as their next quarterback. They clearly have their eyes set on somebody else and needed to just get rid of Brock Osweiler. I am not convinced the Browns are looking at Brock Osweiler as their starting quarterback. They still could be doing another deal for a quarterback or drafting a quarterback. So good luck to the Browns with Brock Osweiler. Also, the Browns bring in Kenny Britt. Okay. Yeah, that move doesn't excite me either. As Britt comes from a situation where you didn't really think too highly of the passing game in the first place. I don't think it gets much better for him in Cleveland unless they somehow can resurrect the right arm of Bernie Kosar. Let's see. Patriots getting Dwayne Allen. Well, we know the Patriots are pretty good working with tight ends. Some say, well, this clearly means Martellus Bennett is not coming back. I wonder what it also means for Gronk, you know, who missed half a season. I think the Patriots are getting to the point where they wonder how much they can count on Gronkowski. But it's a good move for Dwayne Allen. I'm not going to go overboard with it. Dwayne Allen had some good games with the Colts, but he wasn't that consistent. Jack Doyle had some better games. The Patriots clearly know what they're doing here. I just wouldn't go overboard. I wouldn't be targeting Dwayne Allen as one of your top tight ends in a must-own, must-play tight end league. Yeah, I agree he's worth considering, but don't go overboard on it just yet. It's a good move for the Patriots, but we got a long way to go here in terms of evaluating just how much Allen's going to get the ball in New England. Saints bringing in Ted Ginn. I like this a lot. I said on a previous podcast, and there have been talks about a deal involving Malcolm Butler to the Saints for Brandon Cooks. You know, if you sign Brandon Cooks or you bring in Brandon Cooks, you're not getting Drew Brees. Now, granted, if the Patriots bring in Brandon Cooks, then Brandon Cooks is getting Tom Brady. So, okay, I get that. But Drew Brees loves to spread the ball around. He makes guys look good on that offense. Kobe Fleener was so bad last year, it was tough for Brees to make him look good other than a couple of games. But you know what I'm saying? Ted Ginn is a surprisingly good weapon in this league. He's 2 years removed from being on the NFC Champions. As the season went on last year, he became the most consistent threat and a big downfield threat. I mean, even more so than a DeSean Jackson in Washington for Cam Newton to throw to. I really like this move for Ted Ginn. And he would now be a wide receiver. And I owned Ted Ginn last year. I think I want to own him again this year. I mean, there are certain offenses, right? You want a piece of the action. You want a piece of the Patriots offense. You want a piece of the Saints offense. You want a piece of the Cowboys offense. You want a piece of the Packers offense. Yeah, if you want a piece of the Saints offense, I'd consider Ted Ginn. This is an extremely fast guy. Who can get behind opposing safeties, and Breeze can get him the football, and especially on that fast track in the Superdome. Giants getting Brandon Marshall. Love the move. Brandon Marshall was on Jets teams that weren't very good. Brandon Marshall was pretty good and better than pretty good. Marshall was a pretty consistent wide receiver on a very inconsistent team. Yeah, I'm worried about him getting older. Now what? How many teams? Four? But, much like DeSean Jackson's move to Tampa Bay, where DeSean is clearly not the number one guy, Brandon clearly is not the number one guy with the Giants, and I think he'll be just fine. And Eli Manning is going to give him plenty of opportunities to make plays in the passing game. I will say that this move hurts Sterling Shepard, who... You know, hard to say that a rookie is an outright disappointment, but Shepard wasn't great last year. He had some decent games, but, you know, and then they dumped Victor Cruz, but I think this will hurt Sterling Shepard. I'd rather have Brandon Marshall. If you're asking me right now, do I want Brandon Marshall or Sterling Shepard off the Giants next year? Yeah, I'd rather have Brandon Marshall. I'd be willing to spend higher in the draft to get him. I probably wouldn't touch Sterling Shepard at this point. The Eagles, interesting. One-year deal on Alshon Jeffrey. This basically replaces, I'm sorry, instead of getting DeSean Jackson, the Eagles get Alshon Jeffrey 1 year. So they're letting Alshon Jeffrey play for another contract in Philadelphia. I just don't like the feel of this. I just kind of like I didn't like the feel of the Eagles as the season went on. This just feels like a team that is still in transition off the Chip Kelly era, and I'm not sure that their current coach is the end game of the transition. Carson Wentz is. I'm not sure what the running back situation is. So you put Alshon Jeffrey now there with also they signed Torrey Smith. And Torrey Smith, to me, I'm sorry, that's depth. I don't think that highly of Torrey Smith. And then you have Matthews, who was targeted a lot last year and was way too inconsistent. Something about the Eagles just doesn't feel right. So the Eagles were probably hedging a little bit on Jeffrey's injury history. I'm sure Jeffrey will have some big games with Carson Wentz throwing him the football, and then Jeffrey might be signing a big deal to go elsewhere next season. But something about the Eagles' offense overall, it just doesn't feel right. Steelers, they bring back Landry Jones. Well, they lost Marcus Wheaton. Okay, fine. And they bring back Landry Jones. I still don't know why. It's kind of like all those years that wherever Mike Holmgren went, that, there was a quarterback that went with him. And thank goodness I forgot that quarterback's name because he rarely played. But I'm sure Landry Jones is a good teammate. He's good in meetings. He's good running the scout team or whatever he does. But I think you need somebody better when Ben Roethlisberger gets hurt and misses a half, a game or two. The Steelers just don't look the same with Landry Jones back there. 49ers. So here are John Lynch's big splashes. Pierre Garçon, Brian Hoyer, and Marquise Goodwin. I love John Lynch. These aren't splashes. Pierre Garçon doesn't excite me at all. I think this is an overrated signing. Brian Hoyer. The Niners had no quarterbacks on the roster, so now they have one. This can't be the one. No. No, Brian Hoyer is not someone you say right now, yeah, that's our guy, number one, going to training camp. No, I don't think so. Marquise Goodwin, that doesn't excite me either. So, three sort of moves that don't get me excited about the start of the John Lynch era. Kyle Shanahan, obviously, I worked with Pierre Garçon in Washington, but I just think Garçon's too inconsistent. Trade, Mr. Snyder says no. Here's all the money on the franchise tag. Kurt's going to say fine, and they'll go forward. Now, the Redskins are without Garçon. They're without DeSean Jackson. Kirk will be fine. He'll still be very productive throwing the football. Be nice if Jordan Reed could play a full game, you know, a couple of weeks in a row, more often than he does, but Kirk Cousins will be fine. Bengals might not be. Bengals lost two offensive linemen. Andy Dalton was sacked over 40 times last year. You say, well, you know, the Bengals didn't have a good year from Jeremy Hill, and A.J. Green got hurt, and the offensive line wasn't very good. And they just lost two offensive linemen, even though they keep Dre Kirkpatrick, who did play better last year after what I thought was a sort of a shaky start to his career. Alabama DBs in the NFL are getting better. For a while there, it didn't look good, but Alabama DBs more recently have played better once they get into the NFL. But from a Bengals standpoint, from an Andy Dalton standpoint, losing those two offensive linemen might not be good for Dalton, might not be good for Jeremy Hill. Probably for Gio Bernard because of down and distance situations or using wheel routes where Dalton needs to get rid of the football faster. All right, so there you go. That's as of 10 p.m. Thursday night. Some of the most recent free agent moves and trades and transactions. There probably will be more over the next 72 hours, and if there's enough, I'll crank you out another podcast for Monday. If not, we'll wait until next Friday. And remember, The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is teed up at Landsberg Golf Club of the Florida Golf Trail. The Florida Golf Trail is 7 properties. 2 are private, Bayou Club and River Hills Country Club. Now, if you are interested in a private club and you want me to set you up with a meeting and a look-see at either the Bayou Club or River Hills, I can do that for you. I can. Email me, toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Just because I'm telling you about private golf courses doesn't mean you're locked out. If you are interested in either the Bayou Club or the River Hills Country Club, and you'd like to take a look around, I can set that up for you. Yeah, toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Now, the Florida Golf Trail's 5 public properties are the Preserve at Terra down in Sarasota. Then you have Bloomingdale. You have Northdale. You have Bardmore. And you have Landsbrook. And Landsbrook is hosting my next golf tournament. $60 per player. That's it. That's it. Gets you all the food. We're going to have a very unique format for the final foursome on April 1st. Yep, we play the final foursome in the afternoon. And then about the time we're finishing, the final four will be played that night in Arizona. For more information on the final foursome and how to sign up to play in my next golf tournament on April 1st, where you'll not only be shooting at pins, you'll be shooting free throws. JoeBucksFan.com/golf or email me, ToddWrightGolf@gmail.com. Visit Landsberg Golf Club online at Landsberg-Golf.com. That is this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll probably talk to you again on Monday. I guarantee you we'll talk to you again next Friday.